Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with studies in the book of Matthew, and today we are starting in chapter 27. We have been dealing with the trial of our Savior in 26 and now in chapter 27. We have taken up the question of Peter in his steps downwards and how easy it is for a Christian, because of self-confidence or because we sleep when we should pray or we follow afar off, whatever it may be, how easy it is for us Christians today to deny the Lord in one way or another. May the Lord grant to us the privilege and the joy of walking in fellowship with Him. And this, of course, is dependent quite a bit upon how much time you put in His Word. I always remind myself that the Word of God is given to us as a cleanser. For you remember the psalmist says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. For wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed according to thy word?" And our Lord could say in John 15:3, "You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And as we read these various accounts of these men, like Peter and Judas and so on, and the other disciples, it's well for us to remember that the Lord has and desires, He's made the provision and desires us to walk with Him. Now we come to chapter 27, and I'm going to read the first few verses of that chapter, especially from verses 3 down through verse 10. In our last lesson, we were dealing with this man Peter. And with your permission, I would like to deal with this man Judas. At chapter 27, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And then that's picked up again in verse 11, so I'm going to leave that for the moment. But I read these words, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? What do we care? You see to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me, and Jesus stood before the governor. So verse 11 really follows verse 2. And I would like to leave that for a moment and pick up these verses, verses 3 down through verse 10, where it picks up this question of Judas. Now let me just take, for example, these two men. We've been talking about Peter, who denied his Lord. But Peter loved the Lord. You remember when the Lord said, One of you shall betray me. Peter with the rest said, Lord, is it I? He acknowledged he loved the Savior. And when he said, I'll die for you, he meant every word of it. As I have said, Peter didn't know Peter. He didn't know the depths of the frailty of the human heart. Paul said that, you remember, in Romans chapter 7, when he said, In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. It's very hard for us to come to that decision that that's true, but it is, nevertheless. For the Christian life is one that should be lived in fellowship with the Lord. And the Spirit of God who indwells the believer is able to cause you and me to live a life that will reveal something of the character and heart of God Himself toward men. Now, a question has been raised about this man Judas. The question raised was Judas ever a Christian? Was he ever a Christian? Did he ever really love the Savior? Now, I spoke of this some while back where Judas, the evening our Lord was betrayed, he went out, you remember, and the Lord said, one of you shall betray me. In this same book of Matthew, in chapter 26, when all the disciples said, Lord, is it I? Kurios, Lord, is it I? And Judas said, Rabbi, is it I? And I like to make the statement that Judas never really loved the Savior. Here's a man who could live 3.5 years in the presence of the Lord, hear his gracious words, see his marvelous miracles, and even went out with the 12. And had really wonderful experiences, no doubt. But he didn't really love the Savior. There was something in Judas that was different. And he went and he deliberately betrayed his Lord. As we said in our past lessons, when he took the sop, he went out. Satan entered into him. And he went to the priest and sold his Lord for 30 pieces of silver. But now, Jesus has come before the leaders of Israel, and they've condemned him to death. And when the high priest said, what shall you say? What about it? They said, he must die. He's guilty of death. And they brought him to Pilate. In other words, the ecclesiastical court said there's nothing left for it but death. And according to Moses' law, in Deuteronomy, as well in the book of Exodus, if there come among you one who talks about another god, take him out and stone him, even though he performs miracles. Take him out and stone him. Kill him. These Jews two or three times wanted to stone Jesus. And he disappeared out of their midst. As I said a while ago, our Lord, at the beginning of chapter 26, he arranged the time and he arranged the manner of his death. Now let's come back to Judas and we come down here. He came before the priests and he cast the 30 pieces of silver down on the ground before them. And he said, I have sinned, I have betrayed innocent blood. They said, what's that to us? That's nothing to us. You do what you want to do. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury. It's the price of blood. Now let me come back to Judas in verse 5. He went out and hanged himself. And when you come to the first chapter of Acts, you remember in the upper room, they were waiting for the coming of the Spirit of God. They were obedient to the Savior when he said, you tarry until you be endued with power from on high. You take that first chapter of Acts where our Lord spent 40 days with the disciples instructing them in the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And then he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And the disciples said, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own hand. But you shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you. You shall be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Then he was taken up in a cloud into heaven. Now, while they're waiting in obedience to the Savior, as Luke 24 says, that tarry until it be endued with power from on high. They had a business meeting, and Peter said, someone must take the place of Judas. There must be 12 of us. For Judas by transgression fell and went to his own place. Notice that. He went to his own place. That's why one of the reasons I believe that Judas, who never called him rabbi, never called him Lord, these other disciples called him Lord. He called him Rabbi, the only one of the 12, by the way. And he went out and hanged himself. I question very much that Judas ever knew the Lord. When you come to our Lord's prayer in John 17, our Lord said, I have kept these men that you've given to me, and lost none but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Talking about Judas, the son of perdition. I just answer that question, was Judas ever really saved? And I question very, very much that Judas ever really, really loved the Savior. He sold him. There was no real repentance. He went out and hanged himself. What a contrast with Peter. Peter denied his Lord with oaths and curses. Peter went out and wept bitterly. The Lord looked on Peter with a look, I'm sure, of great love and compassion and understanding of Peter. Broke Peter's heart. That's why when you come to Luke 24, the Lord hath appeared unto Simon also. The Lord had to give Peter a very special appearing. You see, Peter could say, well, it's all right for you fellows, but for me, I'm the one who denied him with oaths and curses. I'm the one that's gone way back. And the Lord, I can just see the Lord putting his hand on Peter's head and saying, you're my Peter. And Peter, with his arms wrapped around the Savior, around his feet, saying, you're my Lord and my God. You can just see this reconciliation between the Savior and Peter. But the Lord made the move. The Lord made the provision. The Lord's love for Peter had never changed, never varied. But not so Judas. I say, that's why I believe Judas never loved the Savior. Now let me go on from there. And the chief priest, verse 6. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field as the Lord appointed me. Now I'm going to read from Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12. And God said, it's the Lord talking here to his prophet. And I said to them, that is to Israel, if you think good, give me my price. And if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it to the potter, a goodly price that I was prized out of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. You see, if I can put it into my own words, God is saying to Israel, either accept me as your God and worship me and obey me, or give me my wages, pay me off. So they meted out 30 pieces of silver, the price at which they valued God. In other words, the prophet is saying that Israel would prefer its sin and disobedience rather than to be obedient to the Lord. And God is saying to Israel, either pay me off or accept me as your God and obey and worship me. And they paid him off, and they valued God at 30 pieces of silver. Now, if I were to go back to the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, in the works of Moses, you remember, if a man killed another man's slave, for example, if I were to go out and kill the slave of another man, I was to give the man who owned the slave 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver was the price of a slave. And when God says, you pay my price, you pay me off, or worship me and obey me. And rather than worship and obey him, they paid his price, 30 pieces of silver, the value of a slave. Did you ever stop to think of the value that God has placed upon men? That man is placed upon God. When the Lord wanted to save you, my friend, the value that God put upon you, he gave his only precious son to die for you. How much value do you place upon Jesus Christ, God's precious son? In our Lord's day, they put 30 pieces of silver, the price at which they valued God. What value do you place upon the living God? You see, friend, you can't get away from God. You've got to face God. Either you have him as your Savior and Lord, or you pay him off. Christian friend, how much do you value the Savior? I can't help but say that. When I see so many Christians living the lives they live, I ask myself, how much do they think of the Savior? Paul could say in Philippians chapter 3, Once he caught a glimpse of the Savior in all his love and beauty and righteousness, he could say, all the things that were gained to me, all these things that I valued, I count loss for Christ. Yea, I doubt all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse that I might win Christ and be found in him righteous. I count everything but loss, said Paul, just so I might be found righteous in Christ. Friend, what does Jesus Christ mean to you? Christian friend, what does he mean to you? What does he mean to you? The Father meant so much to Jesus that he said, I do always the things that please him. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. All the love the Savior had for his Father, evident by obedience. And did not Jesus say to us, his people, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. The measure of our love for the Savior is our obedience. And I've said this so often on this radio, because I see so little of it. How much do you love him? What price do you put upon God? Is he worthy of all your worship? Is he worthy of your obedience? Or will God have to say to you, as he said to Israel, either obey me and worship me or pay me off? They paid him off at the value of a slave, a dead slave, 30 pieces of silver. Unsaved friend, what does Jesus Christ mean to you? He who died that you might live, he voluntarily, of his own volition, went the whole way, was accused of being a blasphemer, and nothing short of being made an accursed thing, crucified, will satisfy the hearts of those who paid him off for 30 pieces of silver. What value do you place upon the eternal Son of God? Are you indifferent to him? Is your heart shut up to him? Or will you accept him as your Savior? And you can, right where you are. You can take Jesus Christ, God's Son, as your own personal Savior. And to those of you who are Christians, I ask you the question, does he have his rightful place in your heart, in your life, in your mind? Are you willing to say, Lord, here's my life, take it and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and take my days. May they be filled with ceaseless praise. Put your life in his hands today, and the Lord wonderfully, marvelously bless you for his name's sake.